Our reading from for this morning is we're going to read one whole book in the Bible. We're going to read the book of Philemon. You might struggle to find where it is because I don't think many of us has read Philemon before. We will read the whole book of Philemon. So sit back. We might be out of here by 3 o'clock. Lord, we open your word. Lord, we look at this word and we ask you, please, Lord, give us guidance for our lives. Lord, give us courage for the day of tomorrow, Lord, and give us just words that will encourage us. Father, as we open this word, also open our hearts to the understanding of this, to the practice of this. Lord, we bless you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes this letter to his friend Philemon. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apophia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that meets in your home, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of all the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but ever dearer to you, both as man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owed you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus, sending you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be also with you in spirit. Luckily for you this morning, this is one of the shortest books in the Bible. And for me at least, this book has got a very, very strong message. So I want to ask you now this morning, don't feel shy if you haven't done so, but have any of you ever really read this letter of Paul? There's a few hands. I'm so chuffed with you. Because this is not one of the books that we normally preach from or people would normally read. But it's also one of those letters, if you read it and you don't understand the background behind it, that you'd find it kind of boring. It's kind of a boring story. And often you would find it boring if you don't really understand Paul as well, and is in a way that Paul used to express himself. Many times if you read Paul's work, it's not easy to understand. It's not easy to read. And I, for one, never enjoyed reading anything that Paul wrote. I didn't enjoy his letters or any of his work. That's until I had a better understanding of Paul, the man himself, and also of what Paul, what type of expression, way in which Paul would express himself. Paul had this amazing ability to use rhetoric to bring a message to his listeners. And this was because Paul came from a Greek or a Gentile background. Remember, Paul was not only a Jew, he was also a Roman citizen. He was born in a Gentile world. And this world was very much influenced by the legacy of the Greek Empire and of Alexander the Great. So what they would do, their schools would not teach the pupils to write and read as much as using rhetoric. Rhetoric was a way of expressing through body language and through the way you deal with people, how to express the message that you want to bring along. You're going to hear a bit more of that and understand it a bit better as we go through this. So Paul writes this letter to his friend Philemon. Now, who knows anything about Philemon? I can remember my dad had a gardener. His name was Philemon. And as Paul writes this letter to Philemon, you will pick this up, what's happened here. It shows the cleverness of this man Paul. Now, this letter is kind of a very special letter. I've already mentioned that it's one of the shortest books in the Bible. It is also the shortest letter written by Paul. And strangely enough, this was one of the very few works of Paul which scholars will not challenge the authorship of. Many of the other works of Paul, people will say, maybe somebody else wrote this under Paul's name. But this is one of the few that they don't challenge. This letter was clearly written by Paul. And this letter shows what Paul is all about. This letter reflects the parable between Paul and between Christ and their work of reconciliation. As much as Christ's work was reconciliation, Paul's work was also reconciliation. And the same work that Paul and Christ did also contained the concept of Christian grace. Like I said before, Paul makes use of strong rhetoric when he writes to Philemon. But Martin Luther, you remember that clever German oakie that told the Pope to go shove it? Martin Luther, he says this tactful address of Paul to Philemon, he calls it holy flattery. Holy flattery. He says, Paul used holy flattery on Philemon. And you'll see why, hopefully. But Luther also had a problem with this letter, and therefore in a sense of Paul himself. This letter, according to Luther, upheld the status quo of a system that was in place in that time. He says, Paul does nothing to address the fact that Philemon, a good and upstanding Christian, a Christian leader amongst Christians, that this guy kept slaves. How does one understand this? But Paul, even though he does nothing about, or doesn't say anything about this, he does plea for the legal freedom of Onesimus. Have you ever thought about naming a child of yours Onesimus? If I knew this name before, I probably would have named you on Onesimus. So Paul pleads for the freedom of Onesimus. So Martin Luther asked this question. If Paul writes this letter, pleading for freedom, but not addressing the slavery system, or system of slavery, does this mean that Paul, and therefore Christ, which we say Paul is now in parallel with Christ, does this mean that they approved of slavery? Some people in the past, Christian people, rich people, owning many slaves, they would have said that this text shows that Christians may keep slaves. which is totally ridiculous, of course, if you bring it in our current context, because no Christian would approve of slavery. Slavery, though, was around in the time of Jesus, just as it with us still today, but we don't see it as they saw it, and they don't notice it. It's not in our society, but it's in the fringes. So the Roman world where Paul and Jesus found themselves in slavery was actually part of their everyday life. And there were cruel practices in place, like gladiators who fought in the Colosseum. And even the Jews had a system of slavery. It's a bit of a long story, so I'm not going to go and explain their system, but one day we might do that. But their form of slavery was almost, you can almost compare it to our system of employment. Where we found nowadays where people will work for people in their homes, in their gardens, at a place of business, wherever it might be. And for the time that they get paid for, they are actually owned by the employer. And sometimes you'll find that employers will treat their employees and their staff with respect. They won't treat them as objects which they owe. And it will be great to work for these guys. And other times, they will be treated terribly. People will use the opportunity to treat people who work for them as lower class, belittle them, tramp on them, and exploit them for when they work for them. And I work for a person like that. I work for a guy, I also work for people who are not Christians, and was the best people to work for, but I work for a Christian guy that would take me and my friend Arno, who is star salesman, and when the month went good, he would take us on hunting trips and that, and when we went on a hunting trip, when it's time to go to bed at night, he would go in front of his bed, go on his knees, a man of in his 50s, and pray like a little child to Christ. But come Monday morning when everybody's back at work, he will mentally break down people who work for him, destroy their self-worth, and just generally abuse them. I worked for a person like that. And I could not leave. I felt trapped because I was financially dependent on that job. I had a bond in a house, I had a car to pay, I had a family to care for, to feed children. And besides that, there were other staff there that could not look out for themselves, that needed somebody to stand up for them and protect them. This was a situation Onesimus probably found himself in. Scripture does not tell us anything about how Onesimus landed up in prison. He might have fled from Philemon out of desperation, maybe stole some food, maybe stole some money, some Bibles. This one particular, when you open it, would explain that he was in prison because he stole money. The text doesn't say that. So maybe he just fled and was caught, and people could see that this was a slave. And because he did not have a letter to say, I was set free, he was put in prison until his owner could claim him. Onesimus might have found himself in prison because he was seeking freedom. And it's here in prison that he meets with Paul. And things start to change for him. You would notice that the world did not change. Slavery wasn't taken away. Onesimus was still a slave. Slavery didn't end. It's the life of Onesimus that was changed. And at this time when slavery was common, and we can see in this book, in this theme of Philemon, slavery was most commonly found in the households of people. And this time, this letter which Onesimus carries seemingly provides mitigation for some of the suffering that he might have faced. And Paul then, with this letter, placed some pastoral focus on this issue. Paul, in his letter, does not do anything about slavery. He doesn't say it's negative or positive. And some scholars see this as unthinkable. In those times, they said they should have questioned slavery and asked that it should be ended. But the problem was that you could not just do this. Paul was in a situation where he lived in a system where slavery was seen as a system of employment, how people were taken care of. So you work as a slave, you earn your keep, and maybe later on your freedom and a little bit of money. So Paul wasn't questioning the rightness or wrongness of it. But he did see it as a human institution. And Paul believed that all human institutions would eventually fade away because Christ would be in the life of everyone that Christ that hears about Christ. So with all this, Onesimus meets Paul in prison, and he found Jesus when he meets Paul, and he becomes a brother. And this is what's significant for me, that when Paul writes to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, he said that before Onesimus found Christ, he was useless. He was even useless to Philemon as a slave. So useless that he landed up in jail, and he was useless to Paul. Imagine that. Here is Philemon, and he wants his slave back. Obviously, if he wanted his slave back, there must have been some value to this chap, Onesimus. But Paul says, Onesimus was useless. He was useless before, because Christ was not with him. So what now suddenly gave Onesimus worth? It was because now he has found Jesus Christ. And although he's still a slave, although he's still a prisoner, although his life has not changed, he doesn't owe a big Mercedes now and a big house, he's still a slave. Although this all happens to him, he's now free. In Jesus, Onesimus is free. Earlier I've said that Onesimus might have been in prison because he was a runaway slave. But the fact that he was returned to his master Philemon might be proof of this. And the only way that a slave could be released from prison and was if he was to be returned to his master. So Onesimus was sent back to Philemon, and with him he took a letter written by Paul. They say that this original letter was found. It was written on papyrus. And papyrus, as you know, is plant material. You know what happens to plants? It goes frot. You know that? It just disappears eventually. So we don't often find papyrus letters. But somebody took great care of this letter. It must have been very special to this person because they looked so well after it that it was preserved for ages. So this letter that I found was so typical Paul. It starts with a greeting, and then we find the main body of the letter dealing with the issues that Paul wants to address, and then we find a final greeting. And as always, in Paul's greetings, we find the essence of his teaching. The essence of this message is grace. He talks about grace in the beginning, he talks about grace in the end. And the rhetorical argument he makes, in this argument we can see the theme. We can see Paul using this holy flattery, as Martin Luther puts it. He used this on Philemon. And Paul writes to Philemon and he says that because he, Philemon, is in Christ, Paul can command him to do anything. Paul can tell him, Philemon, as a Christ follower, you must stop swearing. Sorry, as a Christ follower, you must treat Onesimus as your equal. He can tell him where his duties lies. But that's not what Paul does. Instead, he appeals to Philemon out of love. He says to Philemon, take this man back out of love, not because I tell you to. But not only take him back. Don't take him back as a slave, but take him back as a brother, as a partner. He says, Philemon, just as you would have welcomed me, Paul, back as a partner, I ask you to receive Onesimus back as a partner. This is a huge difference, isn't it? It's a huge difference to being a slave to someone and to being his partner. And this plays a little bit in the law of Moses as well. Obedience to the law is like slavery. While to be under Christ, that what comes from grace brings us into a partnership with God. You have noticed when we read this letter that not once did Paul say, Philemon, you did well to your slaves. It is always to the saints, always to the brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul pleads that Philemon takes Onesimus back as a partner. Do you get a picture? The same way that we are not slaves to God. We don't stand on the rules and regulations. We stand in grace. We are partners because we are in the body of Christ. And this is a concept which religions like Islam find very offensive. And they say it's blasphemous. Because for them, we cannot be in a partnership with a God. You can't be in a partnership with their God, so we cannot be in partnership with our God. Because partnership makes you equal, and that can never be. But for us, it's the grace of Christ that brings us into relationship with the Trinity. For us, it's not a business partnership, it's a relational partnership. So Paul continues and writes to Philemon, and he says in verse 17 and to 21, "So if you consider me to be a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If I'm your partner, welcome him as well. If he has done you any wrong or owns anything to you, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. If Onesimus owns you, Philemon, anything, charge me. I, Paul, will pay it back. But not to mention, Philemon, that you owe your very self to me. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ," Paul writes. "Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. If Onesimus had outstanding debt with Philemon, Paul was willing to take it upon himself. He did not want Onesimus, who has just found his freedom in Christ, he did not want him to be enslaved to debt. So he appeals to Philemon to set Onesimus free from this debt. He pleads for this, for because Paul knew this. He knew that as long as there was a debt to pay, the relationship between these two, between Philemon and Onesimus, never be perfect." I know, but he does play a little bit on Philemon's conscience as well. He tells him, Philemon, that he himself, Paul, that he has himself to thank Paul for his very life. He says, "Philemon, you are in debt to me, Paul." In the same way, we are in debt to Jesus. We have to thank Jesus for our very lives. And as Paul worked to restore that relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, even to the one that's better than the one they had before, so Jesus works to restore that relationship between us and God. A relationship that was broken in Eden when man was disobedient to God. This relationship, which is now fixed, brought about by Jesus, it's not one that enslaves us with laws and rules and regulations. It's one that sets us free, even one that will pay the debt that we owe to the Father. So we can easily identify with Onesimus in the story, but once our relationship with God is restored, then we become a Philemon. And then Jesus, although he has the right to do so, is going to demand not that we listen to him because we are now free in Christ. He's going to demand that we listen and extend grace out of love, not out of rules. He's expecting that we will do this out of love, just as Paul asked Philemon to accept Onesimus out of love. We became Jesus' partners in faith. We became his partners in grace. And although we have the right to demand justice when we have been wronged, ask a favor of us. He asks that we reconcile. All sins, those committed by us and by people who transgress on us, you know, the sins that people commit against us, all these sins have already been put down to Jesus' account. We have his signature on that. It's written in his blood on the cross. This was a letter sent from Paul to Philemon, carried by Onesimus. And so we don't know what happened. We don't know if Philemon accepted Onesimus as a partner, or that he went back into slavery. So there's no outcome to the story for us. The story is kind of like left open, so that we can fill in the last paragraphs, so that we can write through our lives what the paragraphs and the end of the story would look like. Will we lead the Onesimus of our lives back into our lives, allow them to be our partners, extend grace to them, or will we put them back into slavery, demanding justice, demanding that they pay for their sins which they committed against us? I leave the last paragraph of this letter up to you to write yourself. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we are not slaves, but that we are free people. Lord, that we are partners in your love and your grace. Lord, we realize that you expect us to extend this love and grace, not because you tell us to do it, but because we have love in our own hearts and that we do it out of that. Father, we thank you for Paul, for the way you use him to bring this message to us. We thank you for Philemon and for Onesimus, for their lives and their example to us. Lord, we thank you that we may call you our Savior, in whose name we can pray. Amen. Before we take the collection and do the intimation,